Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Darkness Radio here. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, the recently turned 38 handsome devil himself, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
You flatter me.
Wow, you hit a big milestone this year, 38.
I don't know if that's a milestone.
It is a milestone because that means that the next 2 years are going to go really fast.
You know what? I do believe that now I'm the same age as Brad Johnson and Brett Favre, so I can be a backup quarterback anywhere in the NFL.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it.
Does that mean you're going to retire and join another radio team somewhere else?
Probably, yeah. Somewhere.
That's hurtful.
Somewhere in New York.
That hurts. Yeah. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to our show. This is a paranormal radio show. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight Central Time. We'll be talking about all facets of the paranormal, everything from ghosts to UFOs, Bigfoot, the Bermuda Triangle, and beyond. And we'll be doing it with your help. We'd like you to interact with us. If there's story ideas and tips that you'd like us to cover, you can always contact us at dave@darknessradio.com or tim@darknessradio.com. Shoot us news stories. We also have an international and a national news correspondent that will join us every weekend. You can go to our website at darknessradio.com and you'll see a link there for the news desk. You can click it. If you have a national news story you're aware of or you'd like follow-up or mention on the air, you can email the information right there on the link to Bill Murphy, our national correspondent. And if you'd like us to explore more in the international world, and if you'd like to know more about ghosts, chupacabra, Bigfoot, what's going on out there in the international world, we will have our good friend Adrian Lee, who happens to be live in studio with us again from England. He's here, Tim, with us in Minnesota through this weekend, and then he's going back home.
Aw. Hi, Dave. Hi,
back.
Tim.
Hey,
hello, America.
Well, we're going to talk more with Adrian in a little bit here. We do have a lot of cool stuff going to go on. We're going to, we might as well take our call, get it going right now with the lovely Nicole Remini, and we've been using Nicole here as our new horror movie maven. She's going to come on every week and share a horror movie with us and kind of give us a review. And I asked her, no holds barred, man. No, don't pull back any punches. I want to know if it's a good movie or if it sucks, and, you know, we can talk about it here on the show. So, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you, dear?
I'm good, baby doll. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for coming back with us. Now, let's talk. Last week, we had you do The Lost Boys to the Tribe with Kiefer Sutherland's half-brother.
Right, where I wanted to kill myself, except I had some great cougar moments because there were young, hot guys in it.
That's right. Now, you've got a new movie that you went to see for us this week. It's Mirrors, starring Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep, the other brother.
Wow, I'm starting to sense something here. Are you a Sutherland fan or what?
You know what? I promised to not see a Sutherland movie this week.
Okay. What did you... Now, give us... What's the premise of Mirrors?
It was really interesting because I didn't expect it to take the turn that it did. But what it's about this old, abandoned, burnt-down building that has some possession within the mirrors in the building. So Kiefer, being a retired detective, which I thought was a really good way to play it, him instead of going crazy and kind of getting stuck into the, oh my gosh, I'm just a crazy guy seeing things, being that he was a detective, actually went and started to research and try to find out what happened to this building. And I actually really liked it, but I told you last week, I think I just told you personally, I'm not a fan of the possession type movie.
Right.
And that is one place I didn't expect the movie to go. So needless to say, the last, like, 40 minutes scared the living hell out of me.
Well, that's good to hear for the horror movie fans out there. Now, is this, Tim, do you know, is this a take on another Japanese horror movie again? Is this an update like The Grudge, The Ring?
It is a remake of that movie that's supposed to be mirrors in another country.
Yes.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah, I believe it is.
I don't think it is. I think it was pretty original. I didn't see anything about it that had any sort of familiarity to me.
Okay,
and
good.
I just love where it went. You know, you got some, like, the hot wife who I, you know, the whole time sitting there and I'm like, she's way too hot for him, but really hot for him. So he's like, the guys will get some good boob shots. She wears a lot of low-cut shirts. But there's a lot of blood in it from the get-go. From the second the movie starts, there's blood, throats ripping open. It's really good for that.
It's a high gore content. Would you give it on the scale of 1 to 4 gore? What do you think? 1 being not much, 4 being over the top.
I'm gonna give it a 3.
A 3 on the gore? How about
on? It's just blood. It's
now,
just
is it a scary movie or is it a suspenseful movie? Suspenseful meaning you're kind of on the edge of your seat, getting sweaty palms.
It, you know what? There were a few times that I had to look away because I knew that I'd be jumping out of my chair.
Really?
And I'm not one that gets very, like, these movies don't really scare me. They don't really, usually movies don't move me. But I thought, oh my gosh, I have to look away because I'm going to jump and be incredibly embarrassed.
Wow.
I mean, it definitely surprised me. And the graphics, great. Special effects are amazing. Usually I kind of catch, being that I have that television production background, mm-hmm. I'll usually catch a lot of the cuts and edits, and I didn't really see a lot of that. It was done very, very well. I would definitely recommend going to see this movie.
Well, that's good to hear. A lot of the horror movies over the last couple of years here have let me down with, you know, I think they've gone away from content and gone straight to gore and shock value.
Right.
There's no story anymore. It's all about, you know, let's see how offensive we can be.
And that's the one thing I like, is that they backed it up with a story. And
how's the acting in this one? I know we talked about Lost Boys 2 was kind of a bland acting bit for everybody. Where do you see this sits? Is this solid acting?
The acting was really good. I mean, you get your, you know, typical Kiefer, you know, doggy eye moments. But I think everybody did a great job. The wife, maybe not so much, but again, you know, great boob shots, and she's absolutely beautiful to look at.
Is she
the, you know, best actress out there? No, but she did a really good job. I thought they all did a great job. I really enjoyed it. I was very surprised.
Well, very good. Well, now, you know, here's what I want to throw you for the next week. Are
what?
You ready? You got to go rent this for me.
Okay.
Because this is a remake of a Japanese horror movie.
Okay.
And it's called Shudder.
I did. You know what? I looked that up online yesterday, and I saw that it was like an American name with, like, you know, Japanese or Chinese subtitles.
Right,
and
Josh Jackson, who starred in the Mighty Ducks series and was on Dawson's Creek. And here's a little weird sideline: his character name, Pacey from Dawson's Creek, that's the name of my daughter. I named her after.
Come on.
How sad is that? Yeah, I actually named my daughter after Josh Jackson's male character.
You're a grown man.
Have I set her into a bad place?
Time to man up, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Look at what you set her up for. Well, I will definitely do that, and we'll talk about that next week. But again, I definitely give Mirrors a thumbs up. I think everybody should go. Like I said, I'm not one to scare easy, and I actually woke up in the middle of the night, and it was in my head last night.
Really? It got you that deeply?
Yes. It affected me. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm alone. I'm a little scared.
No kidding. Well, see, that's great. I'd love to hear movies more like that, that it actually has some kind of impact. And you felt there was more originality to it. It wasn't the same kind of stalker, slasher, hacker movie.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, I like the fact that he was a retired detective and it put him to work. And, you know, of course, he had the moments of everybody thinking he was crazy. But I'm telling you, there are some scenes in that will literally rock you to your core.
Let me ask you this, Nicole, if I can. Let's go a little off topic, and, you know, maybe we can even bring, we've got our international correspondent Adrian here from England. We've got Tim. And I'd like to ask your guys' opinion, and Nicole, we'll start with you. Right now, there seems to be a rash of unoriginality going on in Hollywood. I know, what a surprise. They just remade Halloween last year with Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Friday the 13th is being remade, and Nightmare on Elm Street is now being remade.
No, it's not.
It is. Yeah, can you believe it? They're redoing Nightmare on Elm Street, and they're redoing the Friday the 13th franchise. What are your guys' takes? And we'll start with you, Nicole. What do you think about the remake situations that are going on with the classic iconic characters? The reason that I'm getting from the major studios, they're also remaking Hellraiser. Literally all four of the major franchises are getting a reboot, and I think that's because of what they saw happen with the Batman movie, Iron Man, you know, some of these other movies that have rebooted, and they really seem to be taken off. And they said the other problem is now they've taken them to all these different places. The only thing to do is reboot them. Otherwise, they'll all end up in space with Leprechaun and Pinhead, and, you know, Jason X out in outer space. What are your thoughts on them rebooting the icons of Jason and Freddy, Nicole?
Well, you know what really bothers me about it, again, coming from the Hollywood background, is I know so many people that are out there struggling, writing movies, trying to get original movies put in front of different movie makers, and it really bothers me that they go to this place, that they look at how is the quickest way to make money, and with the, you know, and I think, too, what they look at is special effects these days. They can go to places they've never gone before. So I think that that's one of the reasons why they think it'll work. But I think people from our generation look at it as it's ridiculous, and I think it's a big ripoff. And honestly, I don't want to go back to that. I want to keep with my original.
Right.
You know, I want to keep with my original. And then again, I feel bad for the people who are actually trying to make movies, put original scripts out there. That part of it really does bother me.
Although being typecast, I heard that they've recast Freddy Krueger as Carrot Top, and he doesn't even have to put on makeup. He just looks frightening already.
He scares me to death.
Well, at least it gives him something to do.
Exactly.
Rather than just being, you know, a little pawn in Gene Simmons' world on his show.
Well, Adrian, how about you for England version? You guys get our American movies over there, and you start to see these remakes come through. How does it look in Britain? Do you guys, are you just... Is it a turnoff to the British audiences to just see the same crap trawled out after, you know, 10, 15 years remade again?
Sure. I do think there's a theme that you know, nothing is truly original anymore. And I think that can be applied to all genres, really.
Except for Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
And yeah, obviously, we're cutting edge.
That's right.
But I don't know about yourselves, but with all the CGI and all the modern technology, I still look back to things like The Exorcist and that kind of physicality without any kind of computer graphics was far more impressive than all the stuff we're getting now. I don't know if it's the case that, I don't know if I'm becoming immune to just seeing graphics now. And there is a sense that they don't sometimes look as good as they should. But that kind of physicality that took place in some of those older films are far better.
And just psychologically, what was scary 20, 30 years ago isn't scary to today's horror movie audiences. And they're shooting for a younger crowd. They're not shooting for anybody older.
I don't know, though.
So to reboot, you know, Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street to us may seem like sacrilege. To a kid who's, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 years old, if you do it right, like with Rob Zombie, obviously Rob Zombie doing the remake of Halloween is to appeal to a younger audience.
Right. It's not something like I went to go see because I've already been there, done that.
It's always been the case, though, that things are repeated. I remember seeing going back to Sutherland again, the Body Snatchers I saw was the one with Sutherland in it. But if you then go back and see the one that was filmed in the 1950s, that's always been the case,
right,
that there's been things repeated.
Well, Nicole, thanks again for joining us this week. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll talk about the movie Shudder.
You got it.
We'll check out with you then. Thanks again for being a part of the show, and we'll get back with everybody else. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across from me, the birthday boy, Mr. Tim Dennis. So, Tim, on your birthday, did you go out and do anything fun, have any excitement?
No.
No? Mm. You're 38, my friend.
Yeah.
So you just sat at home and played Guitar Hero in your boxer shorts?
Yes.
Excellent.
Normal evening, then, in effect.
Yes, pretty much.
I graduated from easy to medium, and you can insert whatever joke you want there.
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into tonight's news with paranormal news from around the world. We've got in studio with us, he'll actually be calling in every week. We're shaking him out at about 3:30 in the morning out in England, Tim.
It's about time we get them people up before.
Right, we're going to get Adrian up every 3:30 every Saturday morning out in England.
It did only just dawn on me that would be the case.
So thanks for that, welcome to the show. But while he's out here, we've got him live in studio talking about some international news. And again, if you have international news tips or stories you'd like us to cover more, then feel free to go to darknessradio.com, click the news desk, and you'll see on there a link to Adrian Lee. You can contact him both on his MySpace and at his email address. There's links at both, so you can join and add them to give him some story ideas, and he'll try to bring us more stories in the vein that you want to talk about. Now, we kind of got stories all across the board here today.
We've got truly global news this time around. New Zealand, South Korea, France, even Wales again we'll touch upon.
Good. Well, let's start off with our French friends and what's going on over there.
Absolutely. This is a very strange story, in actual fact. A man in France actually came back from the dead this week. He says, this is the man of a case whose heart stopped beating for 1.5 hours, only to revive just as doctors were preparing to remove his organs for a transplant. That's not a good scenario to be in, is it?
No. Oh, my God. So, but he was actually dead?
He was actually pronounced dead and was actually on the slab for 1.5 hours, and they were preparing to take his organs away. Did you remember the film Coma, by the way?
Oh, right, right.
Just a passing thought. This 45-year-old man suffered a massive heart attack, and rescuers used cardiac massage to try and revive him without success before transferring him to a nearby hospital where he was actually pronounced dead. Doctors started preparations to remove his organs, and at that point, the surgeons actually noticed he was beginning to breathe unaided, and his pupils were active, and he could actually feel pain, and his heart had actually started again, and he was brought back to life, in effect.
Wow, what does that say about the medical industry now? I mean, do we...
There's a huge debate going on in France at the moment. I've been looking through some of the French newspapers. It stirred a whole, massive debate amongst the medical profession in France. And the daily newspaper Le Monde on Tuesday dedicated a full page to the subject under the headline, "The Organ Donor Wasn't Dead." The thing about this story that interests me, the thing they don't touch upon is I want to interview this man. I want to find out, I want to talk to the guy. Was there lights? Was there angels? Was there a feeling of love?
Well, now here's a question, though, Adrian. Does it talk about in here? So he was on the slab for 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
Is he brain dead now? I mean, he started breathing on his own, but that's base brain activity.
He's perfectly fine. He's walking around. He's talking. But, it's the experience I want to talk to him about. Was there damnation, fire? Did he have to watch a complete box set of Friends?
Oh, God, I don't think his life was that bad.
He must have done some pretty bad things.
So he came back from the dead, but he's able to walk and talk now. He's doing fine.
He's perfectly fine, yep, absolutely.
Wow. And there's, you said that they're kind of debating in France now. What are they debating about? Just, when do you proclaim somebody dead?
I know that in France recently they've put together some legislation. Because they've got so many people requiring organs in France, they've actually put legislation together to actually try and get them quicker than they normally would. And I did read a report that over 200 people died in France last year just through lack of organ donation. So I know they have put in place a framework and a structure, but I think they might need to reassess that and actually look at how long and the process they go through before they actually extract those organs.
See, this is what, one of the driving forces I have in the paranormal field, Tim, to investigate, and Adrian, I don't know if I've covered this with you, we've talked about it in the past shows, is my fear of death. Is what keeps me going forward in this field.
I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm afraid of is now you bring up a story like this. My chronic fear is what if you die and you're just in your shell for eternity? And you're just hanging out there. What if there is no heaven, there is no hell? Imagine all the people.
Ooh, why would you do that to
my audience? I don't know. I know, but that's the way it is. You've got this going on. This is my worst flipping nightmare is, holy God, you're not dead. And they're cutting you open to start taking your stuff.
When they do open heart
I want my stuff, Tim.
Well, I know. I want my stuff, too.
I don't think many people would want your stuff, to be honest, Tim.
Hey, thanks, Ed. When they do open heart surgery, technically you're dead on the table. Your heart has stopped beating. You're still
right,
kept alive.
Right, but they're oxygenating you. They're keeping your brain stimulated and pumping blood.
There's nothing in the story that says that this guy's brain wasn't still active, just that he was medically dead. And that could just be his heart stopped for 1.5 hours.
Right, but for 1.5 hours without blood circulating through your body by mechanical means and oxygen not being pushed in there, to me that seems the most impressive or freaky part. And then, what begs to mind is if you remember there was a classic movie, Waiting for Mr. Jordan, and it was remade by Warren Beatty into Heaven Can Wait, where his character dies prematurely and they say, well, all right, we'll put you back. And he kind of steps into the life of a guy, a very rich man who died. And it kind of makes you wonder if this is a walk-in that's now taken over this body and is this a second chance for this person to...
I don't know that I'd go that far. I'll take it a different direction. I think maybe the medical profession hasn't looked into exactly... They just assume if you've been dead for 6 minutes or more, you're ruined. There's nothing more they could do for you. I think actually there needs to be more study about what it is exactly, the mechanism of death, what it is that takes you out permanently. Because obviously this guy wasn't dead.
He's almost in stasis, isn't he? It's almost a kind of hibernation.
Yep. And that maybe the medical profession and health insurance companies in America aren't going to like this. The fact that there's a guy who stayed dead for, 1.5 hours and then came back to life. Because much as Adrian pointed out, organ donation, as bad as it is in France, is the same way here in America. If you're an organ donor and you're dead, they want to harvest your organs as quickly as possible because there's probably someone whose life depends on it.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that if you put regulations in America for doctors to wait up to 2 hours afterwards, after the time of death, to declare them dead, that could be, you know, that could be somebody else's life.
I don't know if you guys caught, there was a movie, and this is a true story. This is another one of those things that just freaked me out. There have been people that they've put to sleep to do surgeries on, and the knockout factor is there, but the painkiller didn't work. So these people are essentially trapped in their own bodies, fully aware, but they're in a paralyzed state, but they can still feel.
Yeah.
And they're awake for the whole surgery.
Because they breathe artificially for you, and they tape your eyelids down, and there's nothing you can do. You're just
right.
Lying.
There's no way to communicate. And, you know, oh, geez, these are just frightening moments. All right, so let's go on to the next story. Now, this is kind of, you have a little follow-up to this coming back from the dead story, right?
Yes, this is a slightly lighter story. I read the strap line to this particular story, and it said, story about a new zombie musical. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with the old ones? I like the old zombie musicals. Why change something that's working?
My favorite number is...
This is a story from South Korea. Theatergoers in South Korea are being showered in blood during a gory stage production of The Evil Dead, the cult 1981 film. Roughly around 5 liters of fake blood are sprayed onto the front rows during each performance of the musical. One of the things I didn't realize when actually, as a sideline, when I did this research, was that I didn't realize that in the UK, the actual full-length DVD of that film wasn't available until 2001. So I was quite surprised that even in today's age, you know, some of those scenes were thought to be too gory. One of the things that I must read you, there was a review that I read of this particular stage production,
yes.
And it says, the musical, however, plays the story in a light-hearted manner. And then there's a semicolon with a clause, and it says, with demons and zombies. So, you know, I wouldn't normally see those two things in the same sentence, but
the original movie itself is a freaky movie, but it's done with a good sense of humor. It's done by Sam Raimi, who's done the Spider-Man movies, and is actually kind of one of the forefront runners of horror movies now. He brings on, I think it's called Ghost House Productions.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of horror movies that he brings over here from Japan and update some for American culture. So, you know, I don't doubt that. He's got some funny stuff and a good sense of humor. But
Would this be the ideal venue for a first date, perhaps, if you can remember those days, Tim?
Well, no, I can't.
Wow, the shots are going over
been
your bow, brother.
Locked in my apartment for years.
Yes. Well, I just, personally, one of my favorite actors is Bruce Campbell, who starred in the Evil Dead series. I would just love to see a Korean version of Bruce Campbell. That's got to be hilarious just in itself, right?
I mean, what other horror films would you like to see made into a musical?
I would love to see Night of the Living Dead, Amityville, the musical. How about Friday the 13th? We just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Jason, coming at you with a knife. Jason.
You really are wasted.
He's going to terminate your life. No?
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. There's got to be somebody over at the Guthrie who wants to do this.
Oh, that's frightening in itself. All right, you guys, we're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Stay tuned. We're going to come back with more international news with our correspondent, Adrian Lee. Welcome back to Paranormal here on Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. You can join us here every Saturday and Sunday night. Remember, we do have a live chat room, too, so that you can participate along with other avid listeners and fans of the paranormal. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the chat live link, and you'll be able to join us. It's free. It's easy. Kind of like Tim's prom date. We're going to get back.
You know, I saw her at the 20th anniversary, the 20th class reunion.
20th anniversary. Wow.
She shaved her back.
Did she?
Oh, it was so.
She's still hanging up in the bell tower, ringing the bell for you?
Yeah, but, you know, I find the hump sexy.
God. Yeah. All right, Adrian, what else do we have coming from around the world here, paranormal news-wise?
I saw a very quick report that I just want to touch upon briefly. I read a report saying more Britons believe in ghosts than God, according to research. In a recent poll, over two-thirds, 68%, said they believed in the existence of ghosts and spirits, where just over half, 55%, said they believe in the existence of God. A couple more statistics for you. Some 26% believe in UFOs, 19% in reincarnation, just 4% in the mythical Loch Ness Monster. So I don't know why Loch Ness and Nessie has come off rather poorly in that poll.
Really? Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. In a poll, people believe more in UFOs than they do believe in God.
Ghosts.
Oh, ghosts.
68% ghosts, 55% God. I actually tried contacting God, but he wasn't available to comment, unfortunately.
So we've got, that's pretty amazing. You know, that's one thing I've had a hard time with in the paranormal field. People and the religious beliefs in nature, right? They'll believe in a god, but they don't believe, or they don't believe in the paranormal then, or they believe in the paranormal without the existence of God or a superior being. And to me, that's just kind of funny how they draw that line in the sand and there's no vacillation between the two.
I think people are wanting to almost believe in ghosts because it gives them something to grasp onto, that there is an afterlife, that there is some kind of proof.
Well, I would think you would want to believe to a religion then for that, because if, you know, if I'm going somewhere, I don't want to think that I'm stuck hanging out here with you guys for eternity. You know, I'd rather be, you know, in heaven eating grapes and, you know, flying around playing a harp.
Would it not be the case, though, that, that God doesn't want to prove his existence, because that would take away faith then, and without faith, there's nothing.
Right, but I just mean overall for people to say that they'd rather believe in ghosts so they feel there's a place to go as opposed to believing in God to think there's a place to go. And I'm not trying to beat the Christianity banner here, but, you know, that just to me seems a little far-fetched and kind of bizarre.
I can't disagree with you, sir, but that's...
And how many, statistics. Did you say UFOs were in the statistics there,
yes,
as well?
Yes, that was 26% in UFOs.
So 20, but now over in Britain, there's a lot of UFO sightings.
Absolutely. I do think there's a point to be made that if someone just steps up to you into the street and says, mm-hmm. can I ask you some questions, you know, at that point, are you going to divulge the fact that you get visited by UFOs to a stranger in a street with a clipboard?
Well, that's true.
I do think there's some maneuver here, but I would suggest that that's probably a higher figure and people just don't want to divulge that information.
Good point. On the line with us, Adrian, we have, for your next news story, I wanted to bring on somebody that might be able to talk about this a little bit more steadily. We've got online with us from True TV's Haunting Evidence, we have psychic investigator Mr. John Oliver. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Now, John, we had an interesting story that popped up here, and we'd like to have Adrian share this and then weigh in on it from your side and see if this is something that you've had to deal with in your position as well. Go ahead, Adrian.
Sure. This was a story that's broken this week of a TV psychic threatened in New Zealand. There's a TV program there called Sensing Murder, and there's a psychic called Sue Nicholson, and she's revealed that she has received death threats because of her involvement and work on the crime-solving series. Sue received a phone call about 1 o'clock in the morning from a man who talked about one of the cases, and if I can quote him, he said, I've watched you on the program, and I've told you to keep your mouth shut. You know too much. Sue actually replied to this in the press and said, I don't let people like that frighten me. You know, I will carry on with these cases, even though some of these cases are dealing with gangs and drug rings. I mean, my footnote to this story is that, you know, this guy isn't very sensible, is he? If she's an expert on solving crime psychically, and he rings her up and says, you know, and threatens her with death threats, he's not really gone into that in any depth, has he? Or
no. Pulled
through it anyway.
Obviously, he forgot that she can finger him a lot easier that way.
Absolutely.
John, have you had that kind of experience? Now, you not only do a show here in the United States, but you do a show in Japan. Dealing
That's
with
right.
cases.
And I was a little bit more worried about it in Japan with some of the high-profile cases that were, you know, that were done there that involved, for example, the terrorist attack that was done on the, you know, with the sarin gas in the subway stations there. Here I haven't been that worried about it, and here's the reason why. I have always taken, since I was a teenager, my parents actually started doing this, extra precautions as to my whereabouts.
Okay.
And I, except through email, no one could really get to me that way because my phone number is not published anywhere. I have offices in New York. I have offices in Los Angeles. So I'm between, you know, places a lot. So that hasn't been an issue for me too much. And I wouldn't be really, you know, that worried about it. As I hear this story, of course, it's scary to get a call at 1 o'clock in the morning and, you know, and to be, you know, threatened, you know, that way. But I would probably would not be that worried about it if that happened to me. Maybe I just don't have, you know, fear.
Well, you're also the Karate Kid, right? I mean, you've, like, a 25th level demon defender in Taekwondo or something, aren't you?
That's right. I also have a taekwondo school. That's right. I'm a taekwondo teacher, so maybe that has something to do with it.
That'll take away
However,
a little bit of the fear.
I do think that anyone who's in the public eye, psychic or not, just has to take those extra precautions. So we need to make sure we have an unlisted phone number, can't be found, you know, get yourself a dog that will send things for you while you're asleep.
Well, now, John, we have another story, too, here I'd like you to weigh in on. Adrian was going to share about something they're trying to do to sanction in Europe about psychics. Go ahead, Adrian. What do you have going
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. This is partly a European directive. In Britain, a change of law could mean medium psychics and healers could face prosecution if they cannot justify their claims. Spiritualists are delivering a mass petition to Downing Street and complaining that a genuine religion is actually being discriminated against. Parliament is about to debate measures that will see all forms of paid-for paranormal activity fall under a new Consumer Protection Act and regulation. This will replace a Fraudulent Mediums Act that was first introduced in Britain in 1951. And obviously there's a lot of mediums that are unhappy with this. Under old legislation, it had to be proven that any accused psychic was actually setting out to commit fraud. So it's always been the case in Britain that you would class this as entertainment. It falls under the remit of entertainment to not make this legislation in effect come under effect from 51 onwards.
But what they want to do is, in order to have this done, you have to prove that you can actually speak to the dead in order to not be fined or to fall outside of this. So they're trying to regulate mediums, right?
Under new laws, some mediums feel they will be obliged to prove what they do. And when you're in the business of contacting spirits in the afterlife, obviously that's not easy.
John, what do you feel about regulation for psychics and mediums, you know, not even just in Europe, but across the world? Do you think that's something that should be looked at?
Yeah, I know. On the one hand, I think that having regulations to regulate mediums and psychics theoretically sounds like a good idea. But here's what the problem is with that, which I've always said, because I've dealt with this very issue in certain localities of laws, advanced fortune tellers that go back to gypsy days. But what about the minister, or what about the priest in the church, or the Pope, for that matter, who claims to be receiving direct inspiration, you know, from God, which is also a great spirit? The moment you start to regulate, you know, one group, it gets very, very dangerous, you know, for everybody's basic civil rights to express their spirituality as they want it. And I think that if that were happening to Protestants or Catholics or Muslims or anyone else, that said you have to prove that there's God before you can open a temple or something.
I think that's the road that people are worried about. Some groups are particularly worried about the effect on spiritualist churches, and many of them are held in impromptu locations which must be paid for. You know, would you be starting each religious service with a disclaimer? You know, if you believe, why should there be a disclaimer in effect?
Right. Well, John, thanks a lot for... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's exactly right. I think it's just a violation of civil rights, and I think that there has to be some kind of a grassroots effort to just combat against that, because the moment the government tells you that because you're a medium, you have to claim it's for entertainment purposes only, I want to see that on every priest and every church and everybody's. Otherwise, it's just not fair.
That's right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, John. And Haunting Evidence returns this October on True TV, correct? Four brand-new one-hour specials?
That's right, on Saturday night.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us, John, and much continued success with you, sir.
Thank you, and good luck. Bye.
Thank you. All right, we've got one more story. We've got about a minute and a half left here. Go ahead and let's finish this one up with the psychic theme.
Yeah, this is quite a nice story. In Wales, last Saturday, there was an inaugural Spiritual Connections Award. This is a kind of Oscars for spiritualists that's just starting up in Britain. It's recognizing the work of spiritualists, holistic practices, the paranormal.
So they're doing like
world.
An Oscars award?
Absolutely. There was an online poll that saw, you know, people voting for their particular categories, and there was over 200 nominees actually attended this event, and the winners are going to be going on to actually be in a UK event later on in the year. I quite like the idea that when you see the Oscars and you get the split screen and you see the actors' faces, that, you know, at this particular event, when they're opening the envelope, there's actually three people looking upset before the names come out.
Yeah, no doubt how many people are going to show up. Yeah, they're psychics. They already know if they've won.
200 nominees turned up. Did they actually invite 800?
Exactly.
What do they call these things, the psychies?
Well, they've got some of the awards here. There's the best healer, best female psychic, best psychic art. There's a lifetime achievement award, best paranormal event. So they're covering quite a range of areas there.
Unbelievable. What they'll give awards for, huh, Tim?
I'm telling you.
How about best paranormal radio show? That's your job when you get back to England, is get us involved, all right?
I'll see what I can do for you, sir.
Good deal. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with a little bit more news. And then in hour two, at the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to our guest Preston Dennett about UFOs over New York and California. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis across the board, and international correspondent Adrian Lee has joined us in the studio this week. This is his second week here with us live in the studios, and next week he'll be back in his beautiful home in England.
Yeah, she'll be kicking me back to do this at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in the rain and dark.
Shaking you out of your bed to wake you up and share. And then join us on Sunday nights when we have national correspondent Bill Murphy on the show with us. And he'll be talking about paranormal stories that are taking place here in our country. But let's get back in. We got a couple more stories. Now, you've got an interesting story on mutilation.
Yeah, I know Nick Redfern spoke about this briefly last week in last week's episode on Sunday. I just wanted to put a bit more flesh on this, if I can. There's been a discovery in Staffordshire in England of a horrifically mutilated sheep carcass at a place called Norton Bridge. And this has strengthened claims that a big cat could actually be on the loose in this area. Eyewitnesses are convinced they've seen a panther-like creature stalking the borough. A leading wildlife expert has actually confirmed that the kill could well have been made by what they've called the Stafford Beast. So it's now been given a name.
Well, now help us, Adrian. Are there big cats in England normally that are indigenous there?
No, there's no big cats in Britain, and wolves haven't been around in Britain for thousands of years now. They were hunted to extinction. We do get sightings of large panthers and cats. There's a thing called the Beast of Bodmin, which is in the West Country, and they suspect that they've escaped from zoos or they've been released because people have had them as pets and they can't look after them, and they've just let them go into the wild. So there is a feeling that there are big cats roaming around, but almost on an individual basis that have escaped from zoos or been released. A spokesman for the British Wildlife Rescue Centre said that he was 1,000% certain this animal, this sheep, had actually been attacked by a big cat due to the nature of his injuries. There was not much left of the sheep, and apparently the liver alone would have weighed 7 pounds. There would have been 7 pounds of meat on the liver alone, and it's eaten the entire carcass. There's teeth marks all over it. I mean, it's a pretty grisly sight, and there's been quite a lot of sightings across the borough recently.
Well, can't they do a saliva test, right, Tim? Don't they swab the wounds for saliva to, and then they can genetically tell if it comes from a feline or...
You've been watching too much CSI.
Yeah.
No, actually, you could. You could take some sort of DNA sample and try and figure out what it is.
Isn't necessarily paranormal. I know there's some of the stories in places in the United States where these black, giant black cats seem to appear, but they, like, vanish in front of people's eyes. They'll, like, be chugging along in an open field, and then they're just gone. So I don't know. I mean, you know, these I don't know if I feel as weird about with cryptozoological findings. You know, there are a lot of idiots out there buying exotic animals to keep them as pets, and when they realize things go horribly wrong and that they can't continue to feed them 200 pounds of red meat a day, they have to toss them out into the wilderness.
Well, I guess it's paranormal in the fact that you said it was the Beast of
Stafford. Yes, they've given it a name.
Yes, but I could take my kid's hamster out and put it in my backyard and call it the Creature of Circle Pines, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a...
That's what I saw the other
yes,
day?
Yes.
Is it just because, brown?
Yes.
I saw that too.
Fuzzy with red eyes.
Yeah.
Menacing look.
Yeah.
That's him.
Did he have a flick knife and tattoos?
Yes.
I think I peed just a little bit when I saw it.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. You know, the other thing, though, mutilation-wise, there was an interesting special, I think it was on Discovery Channel, about a year or two ago, about El Chupacabra. And they talked about the mutilations that they were finding. And UFOs are often associated with these type of cow mutilations. But it was, I believe, a sheriff in Texas. You know, they were getting a lot of these strange things. So what he did was, one of the farmers called and said, oh, we have a dead cow. He said, can you keep it there? And they said, yeah. And he came out and he cordoned it off, roped it off, and he sat there. And he had armed guards sitting there and videotaping this carcass over a 48-hour period. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see what the natural progression of death for an animal out in the wilderness would be.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat there with an armed guard watching this. And they realized that there are things, blowflies, which eat away the soft tissues around the mouth, the anus, the udders, the teats. So that is what is always seems to be missing from these animals. There would be a lack of blood. Well, the blood would soak into the ground. There's another type of bug whose job it is to eat the blood, and they will eat it in droves, and they show up fast, and they do this damage. And then there's these, like, these branding marks you see on mutilated cattle things, and it's from underneath the skin. It's some of these insects that will actually burrow, and it makes these patterns underneath the skin, and the way the skin bloats, and it'll split open.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that these flies will eat in precision, so it looks like laser surgery when they're done. And he has it all on videotape, yet people are still assuming that if it's a cattle mutilation, it has something to do with UFO or some horrifying monster doing this, when now we've got on videotape it's actually being done just by nature, you know, by the bloodletting into the ground, and it soaks in, and what doesn't soak in, other animals lick up and eat, and then the bugs eat and dissect the creature pretty quickly and steadily.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah. All right, Ed, what do we... We've got Preston Dent coming up in hour two here at 10 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about UFOs over New York, his new book, and UFOs over California. You have a couple of UFO stories to lead us into that, right?
Yeah, there's recently the secret files on UFO sightings have been made available for the first time by the Ministry of Defence in Britain, and this taken place this summer. The documents, which can be downloaded from the National Archives website, cover the period from 1978 to 1987. They include accounts of strange lights in the sky, unexplained objects being spotted by the public, armed forces and police officers giving accounts. 8 files have been released so far, and there's up to 200 files that are going to be made available over the next 4 years in a kind of staggered approach. These documents are available to download. A spokesman for the National Archives said they had now become available after several requests were made under the Freedom of Information Act, and also because of a proactive move by the Ministry of Defence for an open and transparent government. Another document reveals the experiences of a 78-year-old man who alleged that he had met an alien beside Basingstoke Canal in Aldershot in Hampshire in 1983. He says that he went aboard the craft, giving a detailed explanation of it and describing what the craft looked like, before being quizzed by aliens about his age. He gave his age as 78, and they turned around to him and said, "You can go. You're too old and too infirm for our purposes." I mean, that's a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
Wow.
An alien's turning you down for medical experiments.
Well, but
you know,
can I at least have a bowl of soup? I missed the early bird special.
I mean, I feel sorry for the guy. You know, you've got one foot in the grave when an alien's turning you down for experimentation there. That's so poor.
That's horrible.
There's also drawings to look at. There's eyewitness accounts. There's sketches being made. There's accounts by police officers and the army. So this is all available now to download from the British National Archives.
And that is available right now?
Absolutely.
Really? And how do people find the British National Archives? Do they just Google it?
Yeah, if they do a search on those, that will come up fairly sharply.
Okay.
What I would say is that obviously a lot of people are going to be trying to access these over the next, you know, few days. So, you know, you may have trouble getting into that.
Sure. Well, what's nice is we're offset here. It's like 6 hours ahead in Britain.
Sure.
In England, so a lot of the British people will be checking it then. So our daytimes or later nighttimes might be better to check that out.
I think you're absolutely right there. That's a point worth making. Can I just share with you one thing on air? There was something I did this week that I've never done before that I want to share with everybody.
Yes, we've got the photographs. You do look great in a ball gown.
Stunning. Do you know how difficult it is to get that in my size, the shoulders and the waist? I played a game of Trivial Pursuits this week with a group of friends, and we actually had on one team the ovulus and the Frank's box. Is that a sad thing? We turned the ovulus on, and we asked it what colour it wanted to be, and it said blue. And I played a game of Trivial Pursuits with an ovulus and a Frank's box.
And those are our paranormal investigative tools. Again, one of our sponsors is Bill Chappell from digitaldowsing.com, and you can check that out. But, well, that's thinking outside the box, but I don't know if it's the way they expected.
I'm not going to tell you what the result of the game was either.
Okay. The ovulus beat you?
Well, you know, science questions, they could get out, you know, Einstein. So, right. You know, it's slightly unfair, I'd say. There's a couple more UFO stories that I just want to share with you. There's been a lot of activity this week in Britain. Two of the largest UFOs ever seen by a crew of an aeroplane were seen over Guernsey, which is one of the Channel Islands between France and Britain. Captain Ray Bauer, 50, reported seeing two cigar-shaped objects, each up to a mile wide in the sky near Guernsey. It was also seen by the passengers on the plane. He said they were 10 miles away. He realised they were approximately about 40 miles away from the aeroplane, and he said they were roughly the size of a Boeing 737.
Wow.
He said they must have been a lot bigger because they were far away, and he was trying to calculate in distance how big these things were. But we're talking quite a large size here, and there was two of them. He said, "I'm not certainly saying there's something from another world here, but he'd never seen anything like that before in all his years of flying." And they were actually confirmed as well by a number of passengers on the plane. But this follows up to another story I just want to touch upon quickly. We're getting a lot of activity in Britain at the moment. There was another reported sighting of a UFO on a military base in Shropshire. And again, this has been had photographs and video taken of it by the army. And again, they've released this, but there was definitely a lot of activity in Britain at the moment, and hopefully I can touch upon that and put a bit more depth on that for you next week.
Yeah, get us some more research on that and find out what's going on. See if you can find out more information on our French zombie guy, too, could you?
Yes, I'd like to ask him some questions.
That would be great. Well, stay tuned with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.